पोतपथेत तथोषधि यत्राक्व वा भाद्रमभूदमुष्यखिम् खो भारत आप्तो भजतं स्वधर्मथा।
One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage. Yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As far as the duties of mankind are concerned, there are innumerable duties. Every man is duty-bound not only to his parents, family members, society, country, humanity, other living beings, the demigods, etc., but also to the great philosophers, poets, scientists, and so on. It is enjoined in the scriptures that one can relinquish all such duties and surrender unto the service of the Lord. If one does so, and becomes successful in the discharge of his devotional service unto the Lord, it is well and good. But it so happens sometimes that one surrenders himself unto the service of the Lord by some temporary sentiment, and in the long run, due to so many other reasons, he falls down from the path of service by undesirable association. There are so many instances of this in the histories. Bharat Maharaj was obliged to take his birth as a stag due to his intimate attachment to a stag. He thought of this stag when he died. As such, in the next birth, he became a stag, although he did not forget the incident of his previous birth. Similarly, Chitraketu also fell down due to his offenses at the feet of Shiva. But in spite of all this, the stress is given here to surrendering to the lotus feet of the Lord, even if there is a chance of falling down. Because even though one falls down from the prescribed duties of devotional service, he will never forget the lotus feet of the Lord. Once engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, one will continue the service in all circumstances. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that even a small quantity of devotional service can save one from the most dangerous position. There are many instances of such examples in history. Ajamil is one of them. Ajamil, in his early life, was a devotee, but in his youth he fell down. Still, he was saved by the Lord at the end. The Srimad Bhagavatam instructs us in the ultimate teachings, the Siddhanta of all transcendental literatures, is to surrender to Krishna. Sarvadharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braj. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshaye shamitam sucha. To abandon all varieties of religions and just surrender to Krishna with full faith that Krishna will protect us. Srimad Bhagavatam's entire narration is based on this principle and develops this theme to the most sweet and intimate realizations of such surrender. So one may ask, if I forsake everything material of this world to surrender to Krishna, what if, due to weak-heartedness or due to previous conditionings or for whatever other reason, in the future I cannot continue that particular standard of renunciation and devotion? Even Arjuna asked, like a ribbon cloud, when we surrender to you, but we cannot continue the path, are we nowhere? We neither have spiritual life nor material life. Do we become like a ghost with nowhere to go to or nowhere to go back to? But Krishna explains in Gita, Neha vikramanasosti pratyavayo nivijyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobhayat, that even if one makes a little advancement in this process of surrendering to Krishna, that is never lost, and in the end, it will save us from the greatest dangers. And here, Srila Narada Muni is explaining to Vedavyas, do not be afraid to speak the Srimad Bhagavatam. Do not be afraid to teach the world this unmotivated form of devotion to the Lord without compromising to any material adjustments. Because anyone who begins to follow these Bhagavad teachings, they are the most fortunate. And even if for some reason they cannot continue, they are still considered to be the most blessed. Because once we begin our spiritual progress and we receive the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord reciprocates. The nature of a cultured and sincere person is that person is grateful. And once receiving anything from anyone, that person is always grateful. But Krishna, the Supreme Lord, He is the highest and most perfect in all qualities. And therefore, there is no one so gracious, there is no one with such a grateful heart as the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. And if we have ever done anything in sincere devotion to Him, He will never forget it. And either directly or through His representatives, He will always be waiting and watching for the opportunity to bring us back, if for some reason we fall from the path. Generally, when one takes to Krishna consciousness, if he remains in good association, that person will never fall down. But when somehow or other we connect to materialistic and worldly association, then there's every propensity to fall from the path. Or if we commit offenses to the Lord's devotees, then we fall down from the path. These are the two principal reasons. If we want to remain steady in our continuity back home, back to Godhead, then these are the two most important things to avoid: association with worldly-minded people, too much association, or offenses against the devotees. And if we just remain humble, of course, we will not commit offenses. And we will understand how much we absolutely need the association of devotees. But when we become a little proud and we become a little bit inattentive, then these dangers can come before us in our life and divert us from Krishna consciousness. And here, Srila Prabhupada is giving several examples. Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj was a great devotee of the Lord. He was actually experiencing the preliminary stages of bhava, love of God. But somehow or other, when he saw the little baby deer drowning in the river, Kala Gandaki, Bharat Maharaj, his sentiment as a natural, compassionate devotee was to rescue that deer and then take care of the deer. And due to association with this little deer, somehow or other, Maya tricked him into becoming materially affectionate. He became like father to the deer. He had already given up the palace of the kingdom of the earth, and he gave up all the royal luxuries, beautiful family, everything. But here he was living in the jungles, and he became attached to this deer. And due to this material affection, due to material association, obviously a deer is material association, he became so much overwhelmed with affection that the deer demanded so much of his time, so much of his energy, that he just didn't have time to do his sadhana, his bhajan. And gradually, he just forgot the whole purpose of his life. And everything was revolving around taking care of his beloved deer. But because he was a devotee, Krishna gratefully never forgot that devotion. Nothing was lost. It was just put on hold for some time. During that time, he suffered. And he wasted immense amounts of time. But in the end, when he died thinking of the deer, he took the next birth as a deer. But Krishna gave him the remembrance of how he spoiled his life. And he felt so guilty and so bad that in that form of a deer, he just meditated on Krishna and went to those places where the katha was taking place of sadhu satsang. And his next birth as Jad Bharat, we know the story. He was very, very careful not to commit any offenses against anybody and not to associate with anything that will divert his attention away from Krishna or anyone. Even his own family members, he would have nothing to do with them, although he lived with them. He was like deaf and dumb. He wouldn't talk to them. He wouldn't relate to them. Although he was the most qualified person, he presented himself so totally unqualified that no one wanted anything to do with him. They just rejected him. And he was so happy because in this way he could always be remembering Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada tells the story of Chitraketu. Of course, Bharat Maharaj later, he instructed King Rahugana and he perfected his life. Chitraketu Maharaj, he was also a very, very great devotee. He was a king. He became very attached to the idea of having a son, as so many husbands, they want a son to carry on their good name, their dynasty. And he was lamenting terribly because he had no son. And when he was given a benediction by Angira Muni, he asked, "Please let me get son." "Yes, Harshashoka will be his name. He will give you pleasure and pain." And after having son, he was very nice. He was so happy, jubilant. But as Gita explains, to the degree you enjoy something, you suffer in this world. So he was so happy, and his wife was so happy, but his other wives were envious, so they poisoned the child. So in this way, he became completely devastated. But then when the son came back to life by the mercy of Narada and instructed him that, "You're not my father, this is an illusion. Krishna is the only father for everyone." "Aham bija pratapita." "Which father? So many fathers are coming and going through so many species of life." And when Chichaketu heard this, he understood. Yes. In that utterly miserable condition, his heart was like a fertile field for the seed of bhakti. And then, under the instructions of Sri Narada Muni, he became a great devotee, constantly hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, serving the sadhus, and using everything in his life for devotional service. He became blissful, wonderful devotee. But somehow or other, the bigger you are, the more responsible you are. The more advanced you are, the more responsible you are to conduct yourself. So he, in a joking way, spoke about Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva happened to be giving a discourse on renunciation to a group of sannyasis and sadhus. But Parvati, his beautiful, beautiful wife, was sitting on his legs as he was speaking. So Chitraketu was laughing. "What is this? He's teaching all these sannyasis about what is renunciation, and Parvati is sitting on top of him?" And in this way, he didn't offend Lord Shiva, he offended Parvati, who thought that he offended Lord Shiva. And therefore he was cursed to become a demon. This is the result of Vaishnava Aparad, that even a great devotee can become demoniac by offending Vaishnavas. And yet we think, "Oh, it's all right. I'm different. I'm special." No one is special. Sometimes we may think we're getting away with it. "I offend devotees every day. I'm still chanting 16 rounds. I'm still following the four regulative principles. I still come for Mangalarti. I'm still giving donations. I'm a great devotee. And I offend devotees all the time." I have seen, we have all seen, it's just a matter of time. The mills of God grind slow but exceedingly fine. Sometimes there's immediate reaction, sometimes it comes much later, but it will come. We will lose our taste for Krishna consciousness, we'll lose our respect for Guru, we'll lose our respect for exalted Vaishnavas, we'll become proud, and we will become demoniac. Or at least will go away, unless we very carefully rectify this anartha in our heart, very carefully. So Chitraketu became a demon. But because of his previous devotional service, as a demon, he was reminded of his previous lives. And as Vritrasura He fought against Indra. And ultimately, as he was being killed by Indra, he was simply remembering the beautiful lotus feet of Lord Narayan, and his soul returned to the kingdom of God. And Prabhupada also gives the example of Ajamil, who when he was young, he was a very nice brahmachari, trained up in Sanatana Dharma, and later on he got married to a very pious religious lady, and he was doing nice seva for his guru. But because of association, like Bharat Maharaj, who associated with a deer, he happened to fall into the association of a woman who was very materialistic and full of lust and greed. And he became so captivated by that association that he lost his intelligence. He left his good wife, he left his guru, he left his father, he left everything, and he became the slave of this woman. And in order to satisfy her, he performed all sorts of sinful activities. And his whole life was miserable and degraded. But really, did he lose anything? He lost time and he suffered. But Krishna never forgot the nice service that he rendered with a sincere heart. And ultimately, at the time of his death, by the arrangement of the Lord, he called for his son Narayan and the Yamadutas. First they came and they scared him a lot. He really suffered when he saw them, with their ropes, ready to drag him to hell. You see, if you fall down from devotional service, it's not that everything's going to be very nice and then you'll come back to Krishna consciousness. You'll come back, definitely. But what happens in between, you don't want to experience, believe me. So he had to see the Yamadutas face to face, putting ropes around his neck. And he was suffering terribly, regretting and repenting everything he's ever done. But because he was a devotee previously, and Krishna gave him the chance to chant the name of the Lord, the Vishnu Dutas came to save the day. They chased away the Yamadutas, and they gave him another chance to go to Haridwar to continue his life. And there he immersed himself simply in sadhu satsang and shravanam kirtanam Vishnu, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. So many wonderful examples. There is also the example of Jamunacharya. When Jamunacharya was a little boy, he was trained to be a good devotee. His grandfather's name was Nathamuni. And when Nathamuni's son, when he was very young, he was married, and his wife was pregnant with a child, but then he died. And the child was named by Nathamuni, his grandfather, as Jamuna. But Nathamuni was thinking, what is the use of this material world? You have a son, he just has a child, and then he dies. This world is a terrible place. It's a miserable place. There's no control over the circumstances. So Nathamuni, after giving some basic lessons to his grandson, he just renounced everything and became like a sannyasi. Just preach the glories of the Lord, preach the absolute futility of trying to be happy in this world of birth and death, and the absolute joy and glory of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and engaging in the process of pure bhakti. So Jamuna lived at Gurukul of his spiritual master. But then later, Kolahala, the pundit of the king, he was taking taxes from everyone he would defeat an argument. And Jamuna, he was a very good brahmachari. He just couldn't tolerate. What is this nonsense? You're offending my guru. See, actually, Jamuna was actually more learned than his own guru. But still, he was so humble, he didn't think that this material learning is all in all. He actually was very much always submissive, obedient and surrender to his guru. So Jamuna challenged Kolahala, and in front of the king and queen, he defeated him. And he was only a small child. So the king gave little Jamuna half the kingdom as a reward for annihilating the arguments of the greatest pundit in the land. So here he was, a nice brahmachari who just inherited half the kingdom. Which means he became the king. And when you become king, you have ministers, you have servants, you have all these things, and he had to associate with all of it. And he had to administer the various duties of a king. And there were so many luxuries and opulences and materialistic people around him. He got so caught up, so entrenched with all of his responsibilities in his surroundings that he completely forgot about devotion to the Supreme Lord. All of the conclusions and teachings of the scriptures were just washed away by his environment and association. This is the power of materialistic association. Asat sangatyaga avaishnavachar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you want to be devotee? Avoid the association of non-devotees. And avoid the association of even devotees who are too much materialistic. Associate with devotees. Chant the names of the Lord. This is a simple process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. And we can see the power of satsang is so great. Sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarava sasta koi lava matra, sadhu sangha, sarava siddhi. That a moment's association with a good sadhu can save one from death, can open the doors to liberation and perfection. But on the other hand, association with materialistic people is so powerful. Niskinchanasya bhagava bhajano mukasya param param jigamasora bhavasagarasya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that anyone who wants to cross this ocean of material birth and death, know that to associate with people too much addicted to the objects of the senses is worse than drinking poison willingly. So Alabhandaru, Jamuna, he became infatuated and he became a completely materialistic king and became completely attached to sense gratification. But at one time he was a sincere devotee. What is important is that he was a sincere devotee. If you are a show bottle devotee, If you are a pretender devotee, then you will not get the same mercy. But if you sincerely and honestly chant the holy name and engage in devotional service, then Krishna will never, ever let you go. He may allow you to go for a while, apparently, but he'll always be making some arrangement to reclaim your soul. So in this case, it was through his grandfather, not the Muni. He had already renounced everything material. And for most grandfathers, to see their son become the king, very famous, would be a great joy. But for Natha Muni, it was disgusting. My son, he's just wasting his life futilely. He gave up a rare diamond to pick up broken pieces of glass. He gave up remembering Vishnu to enjoy the luxuries of a king. How unfortunate. So when Natha Muni was on his deathbed, he called upon one of his intimate disciples, Ram Mishra. He told him that Jamuna, he was a good devotee, but he's fallen down. Now he's attached to all material life. I'm old. I can do nothing to save him. So I am giving you this as my last instruction before I leave this world. Somehow or other, please rescue my grandson from materialistic life. So Ram Mishra, he was just a sadhu. He had no means of going to meet the king. He went to the kingdom. He found that Jamuna Acharya, he was already arranging big armies. Enemies were attacking him. He had so many problems. And he was seeing ministers and wealthy aristocrats and all sorts of people all day. You had to stand in line for days to have a few minutes audience with him. He was important. So he was thinking, he'll never see me. I'm just a little sadhu. But because he had performed devotional service, his fate was sealed, and Krishna knows exactly how to bring us back. So through Ram Mishra, he was saved. It's an interesting story. Ram Mishra would go and collect some special tasty spinach that would grow wild, and he would bring it to the cook and said, please cook this and offer it to the king. It's very, very healthy and very delicious. So every day for 2 months, Ram Mishra brought this spinach, and Jamunacharya very much enjoyed this spinach. Because actually, whether he knew it or not, it was prasad. It was coming from the hands of a great devotee of the Lord. And that was awakening a certain sentiment that he didn't even understand. But one day, Ram Mishra purposely did not come to give spinach sak. The king called for his cook. Why you don't make the spinach? Every day you're making this nice spinach. Why now you're not making? He said, because one sadhu was coming every day and giving me this spinach for you. Today he did not come. He said, well, next time he comes, please call him. I want to talk to him. Ram Mishra knew exactly when to come back, and the cook said, the king wants to see you. The king said, oh, you are giving me this nice spinach. Please continue. It is very good. He said, I've come to give you more than just spinach. I am the disciple of your grandfather, not the Muni. And he died a very wealthy man. And he left an immense treasure for you. And he has told me that I should show you where this treasure is. Yamunacharya was thinking, ah, right now my kingdom is having some difficulty. I need a big treasure. Where is it? Where is it? I need it. I want it. He said, you have to come with me alone. No one else. I will take you to where it is. So they began, he said, all right, I will go. So Ram Misha took him away from all of his material occupations, all of his association with exploitative worldly people. And they started walking. And as they were walking, it was hot at noon. He said, let's sit and rest. And as they were resting, Ram Misha began to recite in a beautiful voice Srimad Bhagavad Gita.
Dhritarashtra uvacha dharmakshetre kurukshetre samavera yugutshava mamaka pandavas chaiva kyamakuravati sanjaya.
And Jamuna was just listening, thinking, what is this Bhagavad Gita? I used to listen to Bhagavad Gita. I used to like Bhagavad Gita. But I haven't heard Bhagavad Gita for years. I completely forgot it existed. And he just listened and listened. And as he was listening, it was just awakening in his heart. What he had attained in the past due to his devotional service. And when he came to a certain verse that we should always think of Krishna and always use our intelligence for Krishna in his loving service, he realized that all these years he has been in Maya. He has wasted his life. And by the end of the 18 chapters of the Gita, hearing it, he just fell at Ram Mishra's lotus feet. And Ram Misha told him that if you like Gita, let us just stay here away from everybody else and I will just give you nice instructions from Gita. For so many days, they just sat all day and he was listening to the narrations of Gita. And then he told him that not the Muni, the treasure that he has left for you, I will show you. And he brought him to the holy place, Ranga Kshetra, where the Ranganath deity is laying. He told him that this treasure is guarded by seven walls, guarded by a snake, so many things. So when he went into the seven walls, and there was Anantashesha over him, and he saw the beautiful form of Sri Ranganath, Lord Vishnu. And he said, this is the treasure, the supreme treasure that your grandfather has left for you, the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God. And Jamuna thought, I'll never go back to that kingdom. It is all Maya. It is all illusion. This is real opulence. This is real wealth. And he became Jamunacharya, the spiritual master of Ramanujacharya. So we find through these many stories how once we sincerely begin the process of devotional service, we really have nothing to lose. Even if for some reason due to offenses or due to bad association we fall down, still, we'll never be satisfied with material life again. It's impossible. once tasting the sweetness of the nectar of the lotus feet of Krishna through bhakti, one can never be satisfied with material life, however much we try. It's impossible. There is nothing more miserable than a fallen Vaishnava. A devotee who leaves the principles of devotional service to try to enjoy the material world. Sometimes we see such devotees, they become the most enthusiastic towards sense gratification to make up for lost time, as they say. All these years I've been controlling my senses. All these years I've been chanting mantras and restricting my mind and senses from the natural pleasures of life. Why didn't I listen to my mother and father? Why didn't I learn so many nice things from the television? All these years I've wasted. I have to make up for lost time. So they just dive deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the ocean of material existence. But what they find is they just can't enjoy. It's all empty. It's all superficial. It's not real. But they want it to be real. They can't bear the fact that they just can't enjoy like all the karmis are enjoying. Now I am a karmi. I'm not a devotee. I'm a karmi. So why can't I enjoy like the rest of the karmis? But he can't. Because he's tasted something higher. Param drisva nivaratate. These pleasures have no substance anymore. The materialistic people, they really are under the illusion that this is the all in all. This is the real thing. But Krishna will never allow a devotee to fall under that illusion. He'll let him fall under the illusion that he can try to enjoy. But he'll be frustrated. Try harder and harder and harder. But there's just nothing there. He knows too much. So for any of you who have sincerely chanted the holy name, you should know that materially, you can never do what you used to do. If you go back to the material world, you can be successful. You can achieve great things. But you'll be miserable. Utterly miserable. It's too late. You cannot turn back the hands of time. When the cannon goes off, you cannot undo what the cannon has done. But why should we? So ultimately that devotee has to come back to Krishna consciousness. And that devotee will come back to Krishna consciousness. So therefore, we should not be thinking that let me hold back. Because if I give too much of myself to Krishna and then I change my mind, how much will I lose? Narada Muni says, you have nothing to lose. In the immature stage, due to some sentiment or whatever, you may come to Krishna consciousness without a real philosophical understanding of why, and you may fall astray. But you have lost nothing, but you gain everything. But a materialist, even though fully engaged in all his occupational duties, he does not gain anything. Lord Jesus Christ said, do not make your treasure in this world, because in this world your treasure, it will be either stolen by thieves, or it will be corroded by rust, or it will be eaten by moths. Put your treasure in the kingdom of God, where there are no thieves, no rusting, and no moths. It is eternal. So devotees have this conviction. that whatever we do for Krishna is never lost. And we should have no hesitation to surrendering to Krishna. Rupa Goswami said, you have nothing to lose, but you have everything to gain. And sometimes we see in a worldwide international movement where so many people come to Krishna consciousness for so many reasons, with so many previous conditionings, that many fall away. And we may find even amongst our own God brothers and God sisters that some may fall away. They may give up temporarily their faith, their sadhana, their association with devotees, and they may just go back into materialistic life. This should not bewilder us. This should not confuse us. Because even stalwarts on the path are sometimes led astray by material energy. But ultimately, what do they lose? They suffer for some time, they lose some time, but they'll go back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes cry when a devotee would leave, because he was so sad to see that devotee who had the best chance in this life to be wasting so much time. But do not be surprised who stays, or do not be surprised who leaves, be surprised who stays, because material energy is so powerful. So powerful. But yet, if all of those people who came, every one of them, whether they stay or don't stay involved in devotional activities, it's glorious what they have achieved in their life. They will go back home, back to Godhead. That is for certain. Krishna will not allow them to be content anywhere else but his lotus feet. They've tasted the sweetness of bhakti. They may try every other form of enjoyment, but in the end they'll realize that bhakti is the only flavor that gives pleasure to my heart. And they will come back. And Krishna will arrange. I have many times explained to the example of one of my very dear older God brothers who fell away from the principles of devotional service. But somehow or other, he just was not offensive toward devotees. Because of this, he attained perfection in this very life. Because of his previous bad habits before meeting his guru, he just had certain conditionings where he, although he was doing nice service, material energy was too strong. He couldn't control his mind and senses. And he fell away. But he never offended Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada, when other Vaishnavas were saying, look at how fallen, He was our older God brother. We were looking up. He was preaching to us. Now look at him. Then Prabhupada would say, he would always ask for him. Always ask how he was doing from anyone who knew. He said, because he had once chanted the name of Krishna sincerely in Vrindavan Dham, Krishna will rescue him and bring him back home, back to God. And he spent many years like this. And like Ajamil, he had to see the Yamadutas in the form of terrible terminal cancer after trying to enjoy material life. And he was suffering treacherously. He was bedridden. And there was just nothing that, there was no anesthesia or no painkillers that would take away the pain. It was just too much.
But as he was laying there, he was crying out, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And he came back to the devotees, and he just didn't even want to see the face of anything but of a devotee. He just wanted to be in their company. He was always with tears in his eyes, begging devotees to read Srimad Bhagavatam to him, to chant with him. And in this way, he left this world in wonderful Krishna consciousness. So we should not hesitate. And we should not hesitate bringing others to Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we have friends or relatives, and we think, well, this person, what if the person doesn't make it in Krishna consciousness? I don't want to upset or disturb his or her material life, so I will not preach to them. I will not bring them to the temple. Do not treat them like this. Narada Muni is telling you, even if they are perfectly successful in their material occupation, they gain nothing except karma and bondage. Whatever way you can bring a person to Krishna consciousness, however far you can bring that person to Krishna consciousness, it is the glory of that person's life. It is never lost. One who has forsaken his material occupations, there's another story before we unclass. The story you all know of Bilva Mangala Thakur, Lila Shuka. He was also the disciple of his guru, Soma Giri, and he was a very good devotee. But somehow or other, he took his next birth in kind of a wealthy aristocratic atmosphere, and he became very attached. His senses became very much, the more you have, the more you think you can enjoy. And he became bewildered. And he became attached to a prostitute. How is it that a person who has a nice spiritual master and who's doing such nice seva, in his future life he becomes attached to a lowly prostitute? Chintamani. And he was so attached, he couldn't live without seeing her. It was like if a day went by where he didn't spend time with Chintamani, it was unbearable. So he would go every single day giving his hard-earned money. And one day, terrible storms, floods. All the villages were evacuated. People were just hiding from this torrential windstorm, rainstorm. But he was so enthusiastic. As I say, once you taste bhakti, it's so sweet that you have to find that pleasure again. And you try to look for it in sense gratification, but you can't. But you try so hard, but you can't. It's not there. So through winds and rains, through the darkness of the night, somehow or other crossing terrible, terrible flooding river with torrents of waves, by using a dead corpse to get across, and somehow or other by using a serpent as a vine, he climbed up to the window of Chintamani's room. And when he got there, his clothes were all torn. There were bruises and scars all over his body. He was soaking wet. He was miserable. Tapasya. If we could do so much tapasya for Radha Gopinath as he did for Chintamani, what types of devotees we would be? Rupa Goswami says, Mano Biram, Just like the anxiousness that a young boy and young girl have to meet. If we just had that anxiousness to meet with Krishna, how wonderful it would be. So she looked at him. She couldn't believe it. You have done all this just to see me? You've already been seeing me for so many days and weeks and months, and you're still not satisfied. You're still totally agitated and disturbed. So what makes you think it's ever going to be any other way? If you were only so anxious, and at that point, Somagiri, his guru, by the mercy of Krishna, spoke through the lips of the prostitute to preach to him. How Krishna reclaims his devotees is so wonderful. If you were only so anxious for Krishna as you are for this dead body, you would be a liberated soul. And when he heard this, it was just at the moment, because he was so miserable, he was so suffering, he was so frustrated. When Gurudev spoke through her mouth at that time, he was just ready to hear. Think, yes, this is correct. And he touched Chintamani's feet. My guru has spoken through you. And became a Vaishnava, became a sadhu, and gave up everything to go to Vrindavan. And ultimately, when he reached Vrindavan, Krishna was personally waiting for him, where he became the intimate associate of Lord Sri Krishna. So do not hesitate to forsake anything for Krishna. You will never lose. And do not hesitate to convince anyone to forsake everything for Krishna, because they will never lose. Srimad Bhagavatam philosophy is the most practical scripture